Many say they believe in Jesus, but how many are willing to confess his name in the public square? Today, we're talking about the kind of faith that doesn't just live in your heart, but boldly speaks from your mouth, at work, in the politics, and in every conversation. Stay with me as we discover why your public confession of Christ matters more now than ever. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We are in our series called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty. And I have a question for you today. How does your public confession reflect the faith you claim in your heart? If you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us get the word of God out there so that we can change your hearts and in turn change the public square. So let's dive into our scripture today. It comes from Romans chapter 10, and we have been reading verses 5 down through 11. It says, "For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. And what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So here's our verse for the day. "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." All right, so we're going to talk about internal faith and external faith and what that truly means to us who are walking with God and where we are. So the first thing we see in here is that our heart, when we have to ask ourselves, what is our heart? Is it our spirit? Is it the soul? Is it the body? What is the heart? And 1 Thessalonians tells us that we are, let me go over there real quick, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the first thing we see is that we're made up of a body, a spirit, and a soul. And I believe that the heart is the spirit of whatever's in you, the spirit of God or the spirit of the devil, is working through your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. That's that interaction between spirit and soul, but it's really internal, you might say. So when we think about the heart, it is important to understand that there are some different components to that heart and that God wants us to, what? It says right here, with a heart, a person believes. He wants our spirit to believe in God. He wants our mind, will, and emotions to believe in God as well. There's a great story that we can look at. It's called the story about the woman of Samaria. Now, if you're not familiar with this story, Jesus is at a well, and as he's sitting there, we see that a Samaritan woman comes by, and he says, "Hey, I need a drink of water." And so she's going to go into that well and, you know, get him a drink of water. So they have a conversation. They talk about husbands. They do all these things. But in verse 24, it says this, "But an hour is coming, and now is the time when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." So the first thing is we have to ask ourselves is, are we worshiping God in spirit and in truth? And this is where we can't say my truth or the other person's truth. It's God's truth, spirit and truth. "For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers." So God is seeking for those who will seek him and believe in their heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, and he's looking out for those type of worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So when you think about this, we see that Jesus is teaching us that we need to come in with belief in our heart, our soul, our spirit, everything in us. And when we do, when we say, "I have faith, like the faith of Abraham, believing what God has to say," it results in righteousness inside of us. So ask yourself this idea. Let the Spirit of God inside of you influence every thought, emotion, and desire today. As you go into that workplace, are you going to let the Spirit of God inside you influence every thought, emotion, and desire that you have today? All right. Internal, external faith. With the mouth, what do we do? We confess, and we need to ask ourselves, what is the idea of having a confession or confessing? So it's to say the same thing as another, to be of one mind or to agree or admit as true. So this is where it is so amazing. When we agree with God that there is salvation only through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are confessing. So you could do it right now. I confess. I agree with God that there is only one way to the Father, that is through Jesus Christ the Lord, who died for my sins, and he rose again that I may have eternal life. And that is confessing, right? So it's agreeing with what God's statement is. So Jesus does a teaching here. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they have maligned the members of the household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And so Jesus is beginning to say, hey, confess me. Are you not more valuable than a sparrow? And, you know, I skipped the verse. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall away to the ground apart from your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, and this is our opportunity today, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter and against his mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. So do you see that division that he's talking about here? He said, listen, if you start confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, you are going to see that people aren't going to like you. But when we look at this word, homologo, it's to say the same thing that God says. God says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man goes to the Father except through him. Will you confess that today? Agree with God today and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we go into the public square today that we will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and that does result in salvation. Lord, we in our hearts believe, and that does result in righteousness. So Lord, give us the opportunity to proclaim the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ today. Would you send someone in the path of Bob Ferguson, our governor, that he may hear the name of Jesus today? Will you send someone to proclaim the name above all names to him? And every elected official, whether it be in our county, our city, our school districts, send people on their path that are lovingly, truthfully, in spirit and in truth, confessing Jesus as Lord. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.